Welcome to Locked On Heat. On today's show, we will continue our series of mock trade calls. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm the co-host of Locked On Heat, but I'll be acting as the general manager of the Miami Heat, and I'll be calling up some of the hosts from around the Locked On Podcast Network in an attempt to find a deal for Hassan Whiteside. We know the Heat are open to trading, if not actively shopping Whiteside. We've gotten a lot of trade ideas over the last few months, and we've come up with quite a few of them on our own. And now it's the time to test them. Not all of these calls will end with a deal, but some of them will. On today's episode, I'll be joined first by the host of Locked On Bucks, and then by the host of Locked On Blazers to try to work out a deal for Whiteside. My co-host, David Ramil, will join us later on to share his thoughts on the negotiations. Thanks as always for listening and for subscribing. Now let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm here with Eric Name, co-host of Locked On Bucks. I am acting as the general manager of the Miami Heat. Eric, you are the general manager of the Milwaukee Bucks, and as acting general manager, first of all, congratulations on the job. Second of all, what is just share with me what your top priorities for the Bucks are this offseason.
Well, I just got to say, I couldn't be more excited for this position. You know, I've really been working my whole life for this, so it's a big day for me. But I guess when you look at this roster, everything is, I mean, essentially about Giannis. You have a guy that is one of the 5 to 10 best players in the league, and you're trying to figure out how to build around him. And I think kind of what you see is just kind of the idea that with this roster, I think you need more shooting. No matter, I don't really know if there is a way to get too much shooting on a roster with Giannis, just because he is so ball dominant that you just want to spread that floor as much as possible. Any of my listeners over on Lockdown Bucks, which is weird that I'm both a GM and hosting a podcast, but whatever, that can go on the other side. But if
your burner podcast,
those people listening know that one of the big things I always talk about is looking for point guards that can add off the dribble shooting. And some of the exercises we've done this year, I've already traded for Kemba Walker because, you know, that's to me, that's the thing that can really unlock Giannis, because right now he just doesn't have that pick and roll partner that can really draw defenses out, because right now he plays with Eric Bledsoe and they run a pick and roll and everyone goes to Giannis and they dare Eric Bledsoe to shoot jumpers. So that's the big stuff there. Also looking at this roster, it's pretty well capped out. The team doesn't really have cap room for a while here, which is one of the things that as a general manager, I need to work on and give us a clear cap picture going forward and try to find a way to help out with all of that. Bledsoe and Middleton will be up at the end of this season. So next offseason, I will have some work to do to figure out if those guys need to stick around or how all of that will work out.
Well, I think you talked about a few different things there as far as shooting goes. We're calling you in regards to Hassan Whiteside, so he's not going to help you that much in that regard. But what he will do is help that defense and that rim protection specifically. And then on the boards for you guys, I think that was an obvious weakness last year, specifically rim protection and rebounding. 17th in the league in defensive rating, 28th. In the league in rebound percentage. Mike, what is your plan for fixing that defense this summer and going into next season?
I got a great new coach. I actively don't have, really, I shouldn't have waited this long to get rid of Jason Kidd, but I think actively one of the worst defensive schemes in the league, just not fit to my personnel in any way. Mike Budenholzer has a number of the same problems. He does end up giving up corner threes, and his teams do end up struggling on the glass. So I can understand why Hassan might be interesting to us. But at the same time, I would say that I think much of what Mike Budenholzer is going to do this year is going to take care of that. And my hope would be that from the big men that I'll have on my roster will trap a little bit, be a little bit more aggressive, and have the ability to switch a lot of different things.
Well, Mike Budenholzer did have some success with Dwight Howard, right? He brought Dwight Howard to Atlanta. Their rebounding percentage got better. And that defense, he ended up playing a more conservative style of defense. Whiteside at the point that Whiteside's at now versus when Budenholzer got his hands on Dwight Howard, I think Whiteside is a better player and a more athletic rebounder, rim runner, and things like that. Look, I know I'm not going to ask you for Giannis. I'm not going to ask you for Chris Middleton in exchange for Whiteside. Maybe there was a time where we could do a Middleton for Whiteside swap. Back before Whiteside had a bad year, not a great playoff run for him. Middleton had a great year. You know, maybe that might have been in the cards one day. I'm interested to know what your price for Jabari Parker as far as a sign-and-trade goes, if you were to sign-and-trade him in restricted free agency. Is that even something we could explore? Jabari Parker for Whiteside and a 2019 first-round pick. Is that even on the table?
I mean, I think I'd be very interested in exploring the Jabari Parker sign-and-trade market, but I guess my question is, are there still problems with Hassan's effort? What about his attitude? Would he think he's better than Giannis and Chris Middleton?
He would not think that he was better than Giannis and Chris Middleton, but he would believe that he needs to be on the floor with Giannis and Chris Middleton, and that those three would be the big three in Milwaukee.
Let's say Giannis or Chris didn't get him the ball, you know, on a possession where he thought he might have been open. Would that be a problem?
First time, no. Second time, no. Third time, yes.
Ooh, yeah, that's not great. What about his effort? Is he through that? Is it just going to be he needs a new coach and Mike Budenholzer? Because I tend to think Eric Spoelstra is one of the best coaches in the league.
The problem with Whiteside, and I'll be honest with you, is his effort dwindles when he feels like he's not being used the right way or being used at all. And he has a tendency to throw a temper tantrum. But he was not the best option for us last in the playoffs. We saw his attitude concerns come to a head in the postseason against the Sixers. He wasn't the best option for us. Kelly Olynyk was at the five. Bam Adebayo was, even playing James Johnson.
Kelly Olynyk was the best option at center?
It was a tough series. Kelly Olynyk was a good player for us last year. He was a very good player for us last year.
Okay.
So, with that said, though, I think what we were trying to do defensively no longer plays to Whiteside's wheelhouse. We were trying to blitz and show very much the same way Milwaukee did under Jason Kidd. But with Budenholzer, he may be more open to playing a more conservative style of defense, which has been something that the Bucks, or even a switching style of defense, which is something the Bucks should be doing. And I think Whiteside, with his length, with his wingspan, no, he's not going to be able to switch, but he's going to be able to keep the perimeter or keep the rim locked down for you guys. So is Parker something that's on the table for Whiteside in a 2019 first-round pick?
I don't think so.
You're probably trying to get off of big salaries, right?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing for me is trying to get rid of some of this money, but also that's not really – I mean, it's not really ideal for me because Whiteside kind of has big money going forward.
What if we took some of that big money off, like a John Henson plus Tony Snell or Matthew Dellavedova?
Oh, man. And so what would a deal like that look like?
It would be Whiteside for Henson and Snell or Deli, your pick of Snell or Deli, because they have almost the same salary.
Yeah, I think even there I'm going to have to say no. I'm just not convinced. And again, it would be somewhat helpful to move off of both of those guys. But at the same time, I mean, Whiteside is making about as much as them. Like, obviously, for this deal to work, I'm not really getting rid of all that much money. And in fact, I don't think I'm getting rid of any money. I think I'm taking on money.
You would be taking on a couple million, but you would be getting a player who can actually help you, which is not something John Henson can do necessarily.
Well, the nice thing about John Henson is you get him a couple burritos at Chipotle, and he's pretty chill. Whether or not he plays, man, he's just going to hang out. And for me, that's not really a problem.
Hopefully he could buy his own burritos at $11.5 million a year.
Oh, he can. Don't worry. He's got his own card. He's got one of the special black cards. Okay. It's all good. He's all set up there. But yeah, I think both of those guys in Deli and Tony Snell. Tony Snell, I don't know if I've said five words to him, or certainly he hasn't said five words to me. He's a little bit on the quieter side. I don't really have a problem with him. And everyone in the locker room loves Deli, despite him not being, you know, the best point guard or the best basketball player. People really like him. I'm not convinced that people would really like Hassan Whiteside.
I've got a blockbuster to throw at you because I feel like that might be the only way to get you to take Whiteside would be to add something that you really do want. And I feel like Goran Dragic could do a lot for your team. I think that you talked at the top here about wanting somebody who can run the pick and roll and who could shoot, you know, off the dribble, and that's Dragic. Dragic is a very underrated off the dribble shooter, is a tremendous pick and roll player, and I think he would fit really well with Giannis, kind of be what you hope that you would get out of Eric Bledsoe. What if we did, for salary matching purposes, Henson plus Dellavedova and Eric Bledsoe for Whiteside and Goran Dragic?
Yeah, see, that Whiteside is just not an asset to me. In fact, he's a negative asset. And obviously, you've added Goran Dragic, which is nice, but still not enough. I just don't see any way that I could take on Hassan Whiteside.
And I'm here with Eric Gunderson, who, in addition to his duties as host of Locked On Blazers and editor of LeBron Wire at USA Today, he's also right now the general manager of the Portland Trail Blazers. Eric, going into this offseason, we're recording this on a Wednesday before Thursday night's NBA draft, so of course a lot of things can change. But what are your top three priorities or so that you're trying to accomplish this summer before next season starts?
You know, one of the things I think is really important for the Blazers is finding another guy that can dribble the ball, that can create, that can shoot and score it, in addition to the guys that they have already in Dame CJ, because I think one of the things we saw in the loss in the playoffs is that once, you know, they really focused on just shutting down Dame CJ, they didn't have a third guy to go to. And I think, I think they need that third guy if they can get it. And I don't know if that's even going to be possible without, you know, trading one of their big guys to get more balance on the roster, to have more guys that can attack. But, you know, only having those two guys and also at the center position, not having a guy that can really, you know, collapse the defense and score, that also hurts. And so that's a big thing. Then also Portland's cap situation is not very good. They just cleared the luxury tax last year. And if they pay Nurkic, they're probably going to have to get into it again. And I think they want to avoid that, especially if they don't think that they're going to make a deep run in the postseason. So those are things that I would think that I'd be looking at if I were Portland, and look to maybe move some salary if you can. If you can move, you know, we just saw the Hornets and Nets trade today. You know, if you can find something similar to that, you know, I think that would be a huge thing for the Blazers because of their cap situation.
I think Portland and Miami are in similar situations. You know, our two organizations, I should say, are in very similar situations where we kind of went out of our way to lock in a roster and banked on some internal improvement. But I think we're both at a situation where we could shake things up, maybe move a few parts, and maybe find something that can help each other, hopefully. Now, Hassan Whiteside is the player that I'm calling you about. Now, he's not able to dribble or shoot necessarily, and he's not going to help you in that regard, but, you know, you've got Yusuf Nurkic, who is a restricted free agent. You could pay a guy, or you could bring a different guy in if you're not sold on Nurkic, who had an up-and-down season. And I think Whiteside could help your defense a lot as far as the way that Terry Stotts likes to play the more conservative-style defense. I think Whiteside would actually have a much better time performing in Terry Stotts' defensive structure than he did in Eric Spoelstra's kind of blitz and show structure, which wasn't playing to Whiteside's strengths. So I want to talk to you a little bit about Hassan Whiteside, and I hope that maybe we can start with some of those bigger salaries. I was thinking something built around maybe a Mo Harkless and an Al-Farouq Aminu, maybe that as a starting point for Whiteside, and or a Myers Leonard instead of Harkless or instead of Aminu, something like that.
You know, it's not a bad starting point. You know, Harkless, I think it would be tough to do Harkless and Aminu because, you know, while Whiteside would definitely improve Portland's defense, given the scheme and the tendencies that the Blazers have shown in the past, losing both of those guys would really hurt their size on defense. And, you know, that would make Evan Turner basically the defensive stopper on the wing against, you know, the Durants of the world. as far as guys that he would have to guard. So, and I don't think he's, you know, he's a good defender, but he's not, I don't think he's really that much of a plus. So it would be hard for me to get rid of both of those guys.
Okay.
If you replaced one of those guys, like maybe Aminu with Myers, you know, I could get into that, and we could talk about, a second round pick or something like that. But to maybe sweeten the deal on your end for taking Myers. But I think Myers could also, you know, have some good moments in the Heat offense just based off of the success that some of their stretchy or big guys have had.
What if we did something then with Leonard and Aminu? You keep Harkless. And then you talked about needing possibly another ball handler, somebody who could shoot and dribble and maybe collapse the defense a little bit. I think you guys hope that Evan Turner would be that. He hasn't necessarily been that. His contract is onerous, to say the least. What if we did something built around... Well, let's start there. Let's start with Leonard. Let's start Leonard and Aminu for Whiteside. So that's where we're at right now, instead of Harkless. And then if I were to throw in maybe Deion Waiters, what's your interest in Deion Waiters as far as somebody who can help you guys?
I mean, I would love to know what the ankle situation is.
Mm-hmm.
But from a pure basketball perspective, I think it would work. But my concern would be that Deion went to Miami to carry a big load offensively. And I think him coming to Portland would be, that's my only concern with Deion. It is, you know, how willing would he be to be a sixth man? Because that's basically what you'd be asking him to do.
Right.
If you do that deal. And I think it would fit basketball-wise, but I'm not sure that it would fit for him. And so that's my biggest concern with Deion, because then you have you run the risk of, you know, that creating more tension in the locker room. But at the same time, I do kind of see the need for Portland to kind of take a risk and do something like that.
Would you be willing to take that risk if we were willing to take Evan Turner off of your hands? Because we think that Turner could sort of help us in the way that you guys have kind of a backlog of long wings. We kind of have a backlog of a bunch of shooting guards. Maybe we just swap and help each other out. We give you Deion, you give us Evan Turner, and then we're talking about a deal of Turner, Leonard, Aminu, and probably a future second round pick for Whiteside and Deion Waiters.
You know, I think that would definitely have to be something to consider. I mean, I would be into that deal. I think it would be, I know that Deion's ankle wasn't good, but you know, it has, you know, and that's obviously a concern as well. But he has a little bit more dynamism to his game than Turner has, I think. I mean, Waiters is just a little bit better of a scorer than Turner. And I think that's something that you definitely like to see. And he's also a pretty strong defender when he's engaged. So, I think, especially to shake things up a little bit, if you can get off of Myers, you can get off of Turner, I think that could be a really nice deal.
Well, let's put a pin in that for a second. If we would rather, let's say this, I think we're on the verge of something here. But would you rather simplify it and just do Whiteside for Evan Turner straight up?
Yeah, and I do that, and then I would let Nurkic walk.
Mm.
I think that would be the next step in that deal. Is that to me would mean I'm making Hassan Whiteside the starting center. I'm going to have Zach Collins there. Ideally, I'd like to find a place, you know, for Myers Leonard, because we're going to have a lot of centers. So if there's a way to make that work with Myers and Turner, that would be hard, I know. But is there, you know, any interest on your end in including Myers in any way?
I think
because we just have too many centers.
Sure. I think we'd try to find maybe a third team to take Myers and maybe take him into some cap space and then, but what were if you're willing to part with a future first, I think we'd easily be able to take Leonard's salary on. We'd have to end up probably parting ways with a Rodney Magruder. Not being able to sign Wayne Ellington would really hurt us as far as what we need from Ellington as a, from a 3-point shooting perspective. But if you were willing to throw in a first round pick, I think we'd be okay making that sacrifice.
Could it be a lottery protected first? I mean, we want to make the playoffs.
Right.
We want to be a good team, you know. Like, but if this thing completely fails, and you know, and Whiteside comes in and the chemistry doesn't work, and there's a problem in the locker room, and it just becomes a failure. And this risk doesn't pay off. You know, I don't want to look if I'm, you know, Neil, I don't want to look like I did the wrong thing here by not asking for some protections on that pick.
I think our only concern about the protections are that the West is deep and you guys could just as easily miss out and end up with, you know, end up as the ninth team in the West. So we could protect it maybe for the top 12, just in the situation where you guys miss the playoffs by a game or two. Would you be willing to do a top 12 protection?
That's a tough one. But you know, to move off of Turner, to get a player like Whiteside, and to kind of have the freedom to not have to re-sign Nurkic, and you get a guy who I think is a little bit more offensively gifted than Nurk. I would take the risk that Portland, that we could make the playoffs and not miss out. That would be really tough. I understand it from your perspective, but I wouldn't want to, you know, if everything flames out, if we don't even come close to that, we could still keep our pick by keeping it top 12 or top 13 protected. So if one of those two would work for you, maybe 13 in that, I could do 12. I could do 12.
Top 12protected then?
I could do 12 because, you know, I think if it will kind of flame out, you know, the West, as you mentioned, is so good that I think, you know, we could probably get into the, I definitely don't want to have it leave the top 12, but if we do fail, but I think that top 12 protection would let me do it.
So I think we should call this in to the league office then. So we've agreed on Evan Turner, Myers Leonard, and a top 12 protected 2019 first round pick in exchange for Hassan Whiteside.
Let's do it.
All right, we'll call it in right now.
So here's where I'll give my take on both the trade calls with the Milwaukee Bucks and Portland Trail Blazers. As Milwaukee pointed out, Hassan Whiteside just isn't a very valuable asset at this point. Either due to his attitude or the contract or a combination of both, there's just no value in trying to acquire a player like Hassan Whiteside. As much rim protection as he might be able to provide, it's just not enough to try and make a move at this point in time. Milwaukee did not address their need for a rim protector in the draft. At 17 overall, they weren't able to take any kind of center, and so they chose a shooting guard and good. So there might be a need to readdress the situation later on this season. They might make some phone calls and see if maybe if they're in playoff contention, if Hassan Whiteside might be available at some point during the trade deadline. But of course, that will hinge on whether or not Hassan has shown any kind of improvement as either a shooter, a better team player, a better passer. And if that's the case, and he has shown that improvement, then there's a very good chance that he's part of Miami's long-term plans anyway. And so he probably wouldn't be moved because he's increased his value enough and Miami would be consistently winning as a result. So it doesn't seem like the Bucks are going to be a realistic trade partner anytime. Even when Wes did a really good job of trying to acquire one of their more burdensome contracts, specifically Matthew Dellavedova, it just didn't work out. And that's Whiteside's problem. It's that he's just not a very valuable asset in today's NBA. As for the Trailblazers, a very interesting trade call there. And the result was moving Hassan Whiteside, but that's because Portland is in such a tricky situation themselves. They don't have any kind of significant center under contract. Yusuf Nurkic, of course, is a restricted free agent, and they'll presumably let him walk, of course, with the acquisition of Hassan Whiteside. But Nurkic himself has proven that he's no longer a valuable asset either, so there are concerns there. And as far as the trade that did eventually take place, Wes did a good job of trying to acquire some talent there in exchange for Hassan Whiteside, specifically a first-round pick, even though it is a protected one. But Portland needs to shed a lot of salary, and they were able to do so, even if that meant taking on Whiteside's big contract by moving Myers Leonard and Evan Turner. Now, I waffle whether or not this is a good deal for Miami, mostly because, of course, Turner and Leonard just aren't very productive at this point in their career. Leonard was never a particularly stellar player. He just had a really good season, was rewarded with a contract. Turner has always been one of those players that's tantalizing as far as his potential and versatile skill set is concerned, but has never really been able to put it all together. And that's the hope there. If Miami's able to acquire Turner and Leonard, you would think that Turner specifically would be a good piece here, that Eric Spoelstra would figure out a way of maximizing what he could do. He's a capable passer, not exactly a good defender, okay rebounder, and he can score. He's not much of a shooter. He prefers the mid-range game, and he'll always prefer the mid-range game, something he's said in the past. So that's going to be a problem, but you leave it to Spoelstra and the coaching staff to try and figure out a way of utilizing his skill set, his versatile skills, and incorporating him in such a way where he's a productive member of this team. So he's not going to be a star. He's not counted on being a star, even though he might be getting paid like one. He just fits the mold a la James Johnson, Justice Winslow, and others, where he does a little bit of everything, if not particularly well. As for Leonard, he's a good shooter. He's very good from beyond the perimeter. He hasn't taken a lot of attempts over the course of his career, but you figure those numbers are going to go up a little bit. He's not quite Kelly Olynyk either. He can shoot from long range, but he's not the ball handler or the playmaker that Olynyk is. I don't even think he's as good a defender. In fact, I would say that he's probably a far worse defender than Kelly is. But there's hope there. And as far as Eric Spoelstra is concerned, you figure that he would probably utilize Leonard effectively as a floor spacer. But the problem is that you've also got Bam Adebayo on the roster. You want to be able to continue to develop him as a player, and you don't want Leonard cutting into those minutes. Leonard's acquisition is likely going to be as the third center for this team. You've got Olynyk probably starting in Whiteside's place. You've got Adebayo coming off the bench as a first option at center. And then you've got Leonard in there. Potentially, if Olynyk was to get hurt, Leonard would probably leap past Adebayo into the starting lineup. That's just the way Eric Spoelstra works. So there's hope there that he might be able to get some minutes consistently if Olynyk was to go down. But overall, it's not exactly the best move. So that's the plus side. The negative side is that you're taking on two players that have never really reached their potential and paying them a whole heck of a lot of money over the next couple of seasons. So it's just the reality when it comes to Hassan Whiteside. Moving his bad contract means taking other bad contracts in exchange, and it's not exactly the place where you want to be in, but that's all you got. Wes did the best job he possibly could, so hats off to him.